You're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Hey, welcome to Boggy Talk. Thankful you have tuned in, and I'm thankful that you're here with me, James.
You know, I'm impressed because I could tell you were like mid-sentence, like, I don't know what I'm saying, but
yeah,
you kept rolling.
I hesitated. You know, you've heard me well enough to know that I was like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I get tongue-tied.
It's June.
It is June.
Wow. Goodness.
When did that happen?
Yesterday. June 1st was yesterday. No, it was Saturday. Saturday.
It was my dad's birthday.
Yes. Oh, wow. You knew that.
Yeah, I did know that because it was his birthday. So, yeah, you doing all right in this hot summer?
Is that why y'all call him June Baby?
My dad would go, what?
It got hot.
Like, all of a sudden, we had this like nice, long, ago, pleasant right? spring, and then all of a sudden, boom. The devil just all over Florida.
All right, Georgia boy.
That's right.
Georgia boy.
The devil just unleashing that heat.
Beating his wife? Isn't that when it's
raining and it's sunny. Yes. I remember hearing that as my grandma. My grandma said that, and I was like, what? And I remember repeating that.
What does that even mean?
I have no idea. Like, that was just some old, really dated, not progressive Southern thing that people said.
Wow.
And it's raining. It's raining and the sun is shining. The devil is beating it. That's terrible.
Where do they get the idea that the devil's married?
Right? Or that he can control the way. I don't know. That's just crazy.
That is crazy.
Speaking of crazy. Yeah.
How are you, Justin?
Crazy. Yeah. Doing okay, though.
Yeah.
I think, you know, rolling with summer. Summer's always like, oh, man, that's a lot of time together as a big family. But also
our church
fun.
Staff is together less.
Yes,
really,
it is, because everybody's in and out. There's vacations. Yeah. There's camp. There's Infuge with our middle schoolers.
New York City.
There's the New York trip happening in
June.
I'm
going to get some salsa in New York City this year.
New York City?
Yeah.
Man, it's not paste picante sauce.
That's right, man.
Doing all right.
That was like, commercials were so much better when we were kids.
Yeah, like Grey Poupon. I mean, people still like, pardon me.
I was young for that.
No, you were.
Yes, you were. That was like,
Grey Poupon
was like the 80s.
I don't know. Maybe. But that,
I do remember the lingering commercials.
You just think about that and you think of paste picante. Those are like the catch lines.
There's probably other good ones.
I'm sure there's
Charmin,
plenty.
Did they still have that Charmin Bear thing?
No, the Charmin Bear is kind of a, like, he wasn't animated.
Was he canceled?
Yeah, probably. No, like the Charmin Bear commercials now are like really funny because they're like,
oh, really?
They're all about like bears wiping their butts. It's
really?
Just, it's kind of, they're cartoony and they're, our family laughs
at them. The Pepto-Bismol ones are probably like the funny, like, I can't believe that's a commercial,
oh,
right?
I know, right?
And they do just, like
and the, and the diarrhea dances and the illustrate. We are way off topic, but by the way, can we just say, I think that's part of it's like, that's like Gen Z marketing, like, because it's like, a little retro, but a little funny. Like, I don't know. It's
but
just
also
funny.
Like, should we be saying this?
I know exactly.
Yeah, that's very Gen Z.
Yeah,
I do appreciate, and I know this is a nice segue because I know we have something to talk about, but I just want to bring this up, and I didn't really prep you much, but I was at our student testimony like 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and what was amazing, like, good that they were sharing, mm-hmm. but also like. Eye-opening
was
the number of students who struggled with pornography starting in middle school.
Right. Yeah, it was.
And so I was like, this is amazing that they're so open about this.
Yes.
But also like, hello.
Yes.
These are church uh-huh. Niceville kids.
Right.
So you know it's not – it's beyond that.
Right.
And they're looking at pornography in middle school.
Mm-hmm. And they're openly confessing
this.
This
is like –
this
again,
is good.
It was a good – like,
yeah.
But I just was like – hey, we have got to deal with this.
Right.
So
we're going to figure that out.
We are going to figure out how we handle
that with students. And really, like, mentor, coach, accountability, but, like, ultimately, like, help them see the truth and beauty of the gospel.
Because they were talking about how much, like, it harmed their self-image.
Yes.
Their view of people.
Yeah. They weren't just saying – that's what I –
they weren't just saying, we did a bad thing.
Yeah. It was beyond just, hey, I messed up or, like – it was like, no, I really – it's harmed me because I recognize it changed the way that I saw myself. It changed the way that I saw girls. It changed the way that I saw other people, and I realized
and we're talking when gender neutral is probably not the right word for her, but like it's cross generations now.
Yeah.
I mean, genders too. It's
right.
Boys and girls, men
absolutely.
And women.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is probably a new phenomenon in this generation. Not that it didn't exist previous, but it's more prevalent. You know, where I think people would say in generations past, it's probably predominantly been guys. But now it's both. And because it's everywhere, it's in everything. Even, you know, you can come across it now really accidentally in some regards. Whereas before, like when we were, you had to seek it out. And so these, they're just faced with so much. Yeah.
I remember, you know, growing up in a home at the time where, my stepdad was not a believer, and that was in our home. And I would have to like sneak to find that stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Or if I wanted to like, but for them, it's just literally,
it's just
instantly accessible
everywhere. And if it's on their phone, and if it's not on their phone or accessible on their phone, their friend is looking at it,
right,
like on the bus or, right, you know, or, yeah, in the classroom or just wherever. I mean, it can happen. So just, yeah, what do we do about this?
So, yeah. So we are going to lean on the greater faith community to say, how can we address,
right,
this problem in middle school? And,
yeah,
like, I think part of the tension, you know, is like, well, their parents, who their middle schoolers haven't been exposed to it. A, I don't know how true that is.
You're right.
B, okay, fine. You don't have to, if you,
yeah,
as a parent, you have every right to not bring your kid to the night when we're tackling this,
yeah,
issue.
For sure.
But we're going to deal with,
right,
it.
Right. Yeah. Our approach with that, I mean, not that we've gotten everything right, but we just were like, I want my kids to hear all this from me first and not have to fill,
yes,
in gaps.
I agree.
And so we talked about it, and you know, one thing I've told our kids too is like, hey, if this ever is like a deal for you, a struggle for you or temptation for you, like, I'm telling you now, you can come to me, no consequences, no, like, you're not going to be in trouble.
Right.
I'm not going to,
right,
we're going to talk about it, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to help you. Mm-hmm. And that might mean some restrictions on the phone or whatever, like additional, there already, mm-hmm, are, but like, just, mm-hmm, I want them to be able to confess that to me as their dad. So I would just say, if you're a parent, a middle schooler, and you know, really even fifth grade entering sixth grade, and you're not having these conversations, or like, it's not on your radar, or if you think, not my kid, I just think, that's not the world we live in. So.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that may have seemed unrelated to our topic today, but it really is related, because we're talking about kind of Gen Z, Generation Alpha even, and how, mm-hmm, they perceive the world. And we're a little behind because we pre-record here, but I really wanted us to talk about Harrison Butker,
mm-hmm,
his speech, and really the negative reaction,
mm-hmm,
by many.
Yeah.
To that speech, and kind of why,
right,
there was a negative reaction, and what do we do here?
So, yeah. Well, rather than rehash the full speech, which you can Google, you can research. I mean, he is a professional NFL player. He's the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. So high profile team, which kind of elevates it a little bit, you know, winning the Super Bowl. Taylor Swift's their number one fan. And
most popular fan.
Yeah. You know, that's probably a better way to say that. And so just a high profile position. And then he's speaking at a graduation for college. I can't remember the name of the college. Do you remember? I know it's
Catholic.
It's a Catholic school. He is
Saint something. Yeah, probably Mary or Joseph.
Yeah. He's a devout Catholic. And so really what he shared was very conservative values, not really surprising for a Catholic person to be sharing and speaking on at a Catholic.
But surprising for a person of his prominence.
Yes, exactly. So hence the controversy, being labeled as hate speech by some. It goes, so he's speaking hate because he's speaking about gender roles and traditional gender roles. He does get into some specific things that I would say fall into the Catholic Church's teaching,
right,
on birth control. And different, you know, various forms of, you know, IVF, and we're not going there today. But yeah, so let's just talk about, why was this such a big deal?
Yeah, I think because we can't tackle everything here. I think I've said that word twice now. I think that
because
we're talking about football. Oh yeah, that's
there you
why.
Go. There you go.
Okay, you found it.
That's my job. That's my job.
Yeah. Why did James say what he said?
Well, I think where he was going is.
Yeah, I'm glad you don't do that every Sunday. But anyway. So you're not like picking the response song based on,
right,
like clarifying what I said. But anyway,
what he meant to say was,
I think like the family values, specifically the women's role thing.
Yeah,
is
that's
probably
the biggest
issue.
One. Yeah,
and I just think we have to recognize, like, we are at a cultural moment where there is a group that is just all in on equality. And I don't mean like equal in value. I mean like they believe men and women should be
the same.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
And as a Christian, we see men and women as different,
mm-hmm,
as unique. you know, we see the roles being different. We do believe, I hate that it's complementary versus egalitarian.
Right,
like, I hate that because I'm like, I do believe they're equal. Like, why are you making it sound like I don't believe they're equal? You know what I'm saying? Like, but we do believe God had made men and women to complement each other.
Right.
Not just women to complement men, but men and women to complement each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you think, go back to the garden. You know, that's where this starts,
right?
That's the appeal. And even later in the New Testament, that's Paul's appeal. And like, instructions for the church, it goes back to the created order. And like, they are both created in the image of God and they are both equal value. And you see them co-ruling together.
Right.
And so I think that's where you have to start in this conversation from the Christian perspective. And and where we are culturally now is, one, it's a complete, you know, completely ignoring that we are. You can be different and be equal. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? And I think where our culture errs is saying that equality means the same, rather than celebrating the goodness of the differences.
Specifically when it comes to gender, right?
Yes,
exactly. Because obviously culture, then they would be like, well, sexuality, we're different.
And then culturally we've elevated sexuality to gender, and we've made sexuality identity. That's a completely different, you know, and that's—
maybe. It's all related, though.
Yeah, I mean,
it
we've done that, and it's
one
that's
big,
not
boggy
really—
mess.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think this is important when we're talking about the next generation, because this issue is not going away.
Yeah.
And it's coming into the church more and more. And specifically, you know, next week we'll be talking about the Southern Baptist Convention. Like, I do think this is a piece of why the SBC is wrestling with defining the role of pastor. Because I do think there, again, not all of it, but there is a group that they're motivated by this cultural moment, and being on the right side or perceived right side of history. And so I think, like, we just have to stop here and recognize, like, it is a different moment in culture when people are so offended by someone saying, hey, maybe part of your plan isn't just your job, but it's finding fulfillment and being a wife and a mother.
Like, right.
Yeah, that shouldn't be hate speech.
Right. And I think why is because, like, you know, women have, you know, culturally, you know, like, there's the progression of women in the workplace, which is, you know, fine, and that's good. And I think for men, if you put the shoe on the other foot, if you were to go to a group of men, if you were to say, men, it's not just about your work, it's about being a dad. And
he
being
did
a
say that.
And it's
he
like, people are like, that's
that.
Fine.
Yeah.
Why is that fine and not encouraging women? And I think part of it is because there is legitimacy to the fact that, you know, women have, you know, been relegated to the kitchen and, you know, just use colloquialism, like, and that's not right either.
Right.
The Christian perspective, that isn't right.
Well, there's an ideal
that,
and we're talking about the church has set up an ideal, and not everybody hits that ideal. And so people who aren't in that ideal, and Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7 about whatever your life is giving you, like, be faithful to God in that, whether it's single, whether it's married, whether it's divorced. I would say whether it's with a godly husband, whether it's not with a godly husband, whether it's a godly wife, not godly wife. Anyway, like, I'm trying to hit as many pieces. But I think that ideal has been set up. But the counter narrative is not the answer. The meta narrative is the answer.
Like,
back and forth of correction is not the answer.
Right.
It's striving to be Jesus like and understanding his design for families
because
is the answer.
Because he didn't say, women, you shouldn't work.
Right.
You know, he's saying, like, you're missing out if that is the
That's
greatest
it.
Goal.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, scripture talks about, like, the gift of children and that, you know, that is given to childbearing
right.
is given to women. And that's a great gift. We should celebrate that. That's equal. And you know, like, just the woman, you know, like, if you are elevating your work, I mean, this is not just for a guy, this is for a woman too. If you're elevating that above the care and the nurture of your children, then you are wrong, you know? And why is that controversial? I don't know.
Yeah. No. And so for a non-believer, like,
I think,
you know, okay. I mean, obviously I'd love to have a conversation with you about that, but for a Christian, like, you, a woman, I've never said, won't say that a woman can't work outside the home, but also, like, you can't neglect that your children and your husband are your first priority. Just like a man shouldn't have neglected his wife and children are first priority. it should be okay for me to say that.
Right. Absolutely.
And I recognize more and more, like, as a guy, like, I want other ladies to say that, because in this cultural moment, as a white male, like, people don't like hearing me say that. Seriously.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with, like, mm-hmm. hey, other people can say that, but it shouldn't be problematic that mm-hmm. I say that, right? Now, my rhetoric might be judged. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But, like, the truth is the truth from scripture.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, what we can do, like, I mean, to say that women should work out, well, we have women who work here at the church, so that
right,
would be.
I know, right?
I know. I mean, but I think, and we say this to each other, like, we know that our families are priority over our ministry,
right.
over this job.
We've had that conversation yeah, with each other. Like,
yeah, especially recently, because we're just carrying a lot of extra yeah, yeah. things. But I think even for the women who work here, I mean, we tell them, I mean, you know, like, hey, like, you're a mom and a wife before you work here. So if something comes up, like, yeah. that's, we're going to figure out how to make that priority.
Right.
Now, I recognize that's not
that's
the case,
not,
but we as a church, at the very least, should be modeling
right.
that
you're
in
right.
how
that's
we
a
are
great,
working.
That's a great know? Point. We were in a meeting recently, and we heard one of our, you know, staff members who is a younger mom, she said, like, she appreciates how understanding
mm-hmm.
it has
and
been.
There's still work
you know,
to do, and that job
yes,
gets done. But
yes.
at the same time, like, hey, like, you've got to be there for this.
But I think you brought up a great point. Like, a lot of women don't work for a church. And mm-hmm. so, like, they're not a part of an environment
right,
that is helping them navigate that. And
yeah.
they have to decide.
Yeah.
With, hopefully with their husband, like, they have to decide, this job is not my priority. Career is not my priority. Proving myself is not my priority. Mm-hmm. And they have to realize they're in a cultural moment that is telling them,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just going to be blunt, yeah. that's telling them, abort babies because that's your priority.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. And I think
– and making that yeah. normal.
Right. And it's like – and not just normal, but celebrated. Like,
So you have to realize that's the cultural moment
right.
you're in, and listen to the voice of truth.
Right.
Like casting crowns.
And that is the voice of truth. But and that is – like, I think
sorry.
It is a very countercultural thing
yes.
for Christians to do that. And I think men should be thinking those same things too in their jobs. But I think it is acutely much more on
yeah,
women to
course.
Do that.
Yeah,
you know?
No. It, yeah. Absolutely. As a Christian, you have to
yeah.
realize, like, well, it's easier for men to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
but
either way, like, we aren't sitting here looking at culture and saying, well, but we're saying, what is God calling me and my family to
right.
do? As for me and my house, we'll
right.
serve
and what
Lord.
Does that look like for you? And you have to, like, everybody has to answer that question. What does it look
yeah.
like for you to serve the Lord? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, I think like, really we have to recognize this is happening, and we have to be careful about getting in the counter narrative. And I would say, like, I'm going to kind of now go with the other side. Like, I mean, he knew what he was doing, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he should have done it.
Right.
And I do think there are those who want to, like, take moments, and he didn't do this. I'm not saying this, but to, like, dunk on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And that would probably be my greatest, like, critique. And we're coming to the SBC now, like, you know, I'm fully aware that there is a group that is leaning towards a liberal drift in the SBC. And I have to even confess that I have been more sympathetic to that side because of the venom in which
yeah.
those who were concerned about that were using in their speech
right.
towards
absolutely.
That side. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to guard against being culture warriors
yep.
more than we are people who love God and love people.
Yeah, that's right. I was just like having this when you were talking about the SBC and having been there and kind of like knowing, like already like feeling like about how
that's why
that's
I was like, you
want
to go with me, Justin?
You're I want you just to like go to the microphone and be like, where is Jesus in this, guys? Like
yeah,
that, you
right.
know. But the problem is that both sides would say, with me,
right?
And
right,
I think like,
right.
like
ooh,
that's
ooh.
Just the problem. And
yeah.
to really to get it's like this is a tension to manage. And I think like the bringing this back to the SBC and what we're going to talk about this in a few, you know, coming
the
weeks.
Next 2 weeks, yeah.
But I think a big deal is like it comes down to my interpretation is the right interpretation,
right.
and there's no room for someone to disagree
yeah.
with me.
Yeah.
And we have to recognize that may not be the case in all this. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, we'll get into that more.
We will. We're going to talk. We're going to have some fun with the law amendment. You can Google that now if you want to. But yeah, I think the point of today's conversation is just recognizing this shift, you know, in our culture. Mm. But I will say, as like a Christian, like this is what should change our disposition. Mm-hmm. If we believe the Bible is right.
Yeah.
Then why do we feel like we have to be so defensive about it being right? I don't mean like, why do we have to be on guard?
Right.
The church, but like, why do we feel like we have to like prove it? You know what I mean?
Like to justify yourself.
Like,
yeah.
If we don't guard this, like God's fat design for human, like I've always said about like the sexual revolution, LGBTQ+, like, yes. For our children, I think we need to be clear and we need to teach. But like, I'm not worried about us being some society where all of a sudden, like, the majority of people are gay,
right? That's
because it's not God's design,
exactly. And then it's like also like you can also stop sinning and still not be close to Jesus,
right? Yeah, you know? that too as well. Yeah. So, but I mean, I just think like we just need to help people see God's design, mm-hmm. not be so angry,
right?
You know, about where a lost, confused culture is,
right? Yeah, and I think for Gen Z and the generations coming, like those of us who are ahead in generation, recognizing this is the world that we're in, this is culture, and like truly helping people understand their identity in Christ. Like if they have Jesus, it really is enough. Mm-hmm. And people, if you follow Jesus, people are going to hate on you.
Yeah,
people
are
going to, now it shouldn't be just because you're a jerk. They shouldn't hate on you. Like, people are not going to understand. I mean, scripture teaches that. So we have to be so secure and moving more and more and more into that security in Christ that it's okay. And we're like, you know what? It's okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to still live like the truth. I'm going to live by what the scriptures teach. I'm going to follow Jesus and you may ridicule, okay, whatever.
And maybe shifting gears here just a little bit, or landing the plane, or I don't know.
All the
either
things.
We're taking back
all the
off, or I don't know what we're doing.
Time wise, we got to land the plane.
Yeah, that is accurate. We talked last week, you know, with Mahima and about the persecution of the church where she's from, and about what real persecution is. And I think you even talked about, I'm pretty sure it was on Buggy Talk, you talked about how, you know, they want the, like, they welcome the persecution. Not they want the persecution, but they welcome it. They ask us not to pray to stop it. And I think as Christians, we have to recognize, like, there's a good chance that our culture is moving more and more away from Christianity, and we will be persecuted for standing on an orthodox view of scripture.
Right.
And we just have to embrace it.
Yeah.
But I just personally think part of our animosity in the fight is we don't want to lose our way of life
we've been very secure. We have been very secure in our way of life and to feel the threat to that. Yeah.
And
agree.
I think a lot of Christians, and I'll use our church, would rather preserve prosperity for their children than preserve fidelity to Christ.
Oof. Yeah.
And the greater goal for my children is that they love and pursue Jesus regardless of what's happening in the culture, not that they're in a culture that allows them to love and pursue Jesus.
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to vote for, you know.
It's not like you just throw out caution to the wind, but at the same time, the greater priority.
And historically, the church has not been allowed to flourish the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the countries right now where the Christianity is growing the most, percentage-wise, it's all top 10 persecuted countries, like high persecution countries, where the church is growing the most because something's at stake.
And we like to quote Romans 13 and 1 Timothy 2, but when Paul's writing that, they're under Nero. They're under, you know, an evil governor or emperor.
Exactly.
He's telling them pray for leaders so the church would flourish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not the ideal culture that the church was born into.
Yeah, so I think that's the perspective we need to have here.
Yeah.
We kind of went all around there.
Hey, man.
Is the plane landed?
I guess so. Maybe. Thanks, Harrison.
Was it a crash landing?
Maybe so. I mean, I was just thinking, too, this is the middle school Justin coming out. What an unfortunate last name, Harrison Butker.
I was actually going to say a joke because we segued, like, don't Google that without safe search on.
Funny. But it's like Harrison Butker, like, go kick him in the butker. Like, that's, I mean, that's like because he was a kicker. I just figured that's what an unfortunate last name.
It is.
Middle school was probably, he look at him now. Look at him now.
He's doing great.
He's doing
Kickers
great.
Are kind of weird.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, the specialty. I mean, Seth Olson, he shared that at the men's breakfast.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a church member who was a kicker.
Yes.
For games, talk, like, it's just this one, you've got this narrow lane, and I just
do this.
Kind of figured out I was good at kicking the football. So, hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Well, enough about that. So, I don't think we have questions.
If so, we forgot.
We forgot them. So, if we need more questions, because we are better questions, maybe because we can't remember them, we are going to end today with Mount Rushmore.
You're going to get an email that's like, I submitted a question. Are you
truly, we forgot. Like,
we're going to find out. This is how ministry works. Like,
that's right.
7 years from now,
yes,
we're going to find out that somebody left the church
because
they
had
submitted a question this week and Justin said
I
that.
I said
comment.
That, yeah. So, please forgive
if
me.
If you
want to
know
listening.
What pastoring trauma
that is
real life.
So true. Well, you said that. Do I remember even saying that?
Like, I know. And I definitely wasn't even thinking about your question.
No one in mind.
Okay, what
all
now?
Right. Sorry. So Mount Rushmore, talking about Harrison, four celebrities.
Mr. Butker.
Four celebrities that you admire. Maybe
who, like,
because
inspired you?
Inspirational.
Not like just Michael Jordan. Like, there's
no,
some
like, there's a reason
them.
They've inspired
okay.
you. Not just to be great, but
okay.
to do something good.
Okay. I'm all going right. first?
Go first.
Well, since I'm a Gator fan, I've got to start with Danny Werfel.
Your doppelganger.
Who is a low... No, Danny Werfel.
Oh, Danny. I thought
local,
you said... I just was already well, assuming you were going to say him.
He's coming later.
Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert.
Danny Werfel.
Yeah.
I was a brand new... No, I wasn't even a Christian yet when he was, like, at the height of his career and
mm-hmm.
Represented Jesus so well. And he's just done so much. He didn't really do great in the NFL, but he's done so much ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's Fort Walton Beach High School.
Yeah,
so
I know, right here.
I never
Isn't
knew
crazy?
I didn't even know really where that was back then. But yeah, I have to be Danny Werfel.
There you go. Well, I'm gonna go with Tony Dungy.
Oh,
like, I just think, like, I was going to go with sports, football. Well, you can just tag on to it. I just think, like, here's someone, very high profile coach. It wasn't like he was a coach of he won Super Bowl. Like, he was household name, and
yeah.
he is just really I think at this stage in life, yeah, he's still doing, you know, sports casting and doing well, but he's really leveraged his life to be outspoken, mm-hmm. To really encourage men to be husbands and fathers that God's called them to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think even the players who played for him attested to the fact that he was consistent in his integrity mm-hmm. and character as a coach,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is rare.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, I'm a huge, you know, we're a Georgia, you know, Bulldog fans, and Kirby Smart is a very successful coach. I don't think he's like teaching integrity, and obvious, I think, but the way he speaks himself, I'm like, that's my, like, why I'm like, it just itches me. But I think uh-huh. Tony Dungy, I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, he's the guy.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and go.
He's
to
a man.
Tony
he
Dungy.
Says he is.
I remember. So my, like, growing up, my stepdad was a, Bears Bulls, Cubs fan. So I grew up kind of liking those teams. And I remember when the Bears played the Colts in the Super Bowl, I was cheering for the Bears. And then after the Colts won, the former manager of the Colts, owner of the Colts, and Dungy spoke, and I was like, just was so God glorifying, and I was like, all right, he should have
won. Okay,
and he's done so much for adoption,
yeah, exactly.
even through his heartache, you mm-hmm. know, he's written about that, and I know people who know him well,
yeah,
and they just speak highly of his integrity. Remember when he was almost canceled for saying something?
I know. Like, you're just like, come on, folks.
Dude,
like,
Tony Dungy?
Yeah,
come
just,
on, man.
Just, yeah, turn in your cancel stamp.
Yeah,
like,
thank you.
Right.
Oh, man, you're salty today. I love
it's
it.
Lack of sleep.
Turn in your cancel stamp.
Like, just come on.
Okay, all right.
If anybody gets a cancel stamp, it's me.
Okay,
no,
next.
Okay, I'm changing sports, and, you know, I'm a Braves fan. We are Braves fans in our household. And
knew it was coming.
Matt Olson mm-hmm. is their current first baseman. Mm-hmm. And a little controversy when he – not controversy, but everybody was like, when Freddie Freeman left, he was like mm-hmm. the all-American face of Braves. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, but Matt Olson is just a great guy. And I was reading an article and about a mom who has a son with autism and how mm-hmm. she led some organization in the community, and they were reached out to by Matt Olson's, you know, agent. And who mm. wanted to, like, do something for, you know, autism awareness. And she, this is like in the back of my mind, I thought, oh, great. Here's another celebrity just trying to, like, showboat. And just so she met with him. And what she found is that he actually, like, took a whole day, like spent time, asked incredible questions, like, and then took initiative to lead the Braves to make like sensory rooms at the Braves Stadium to help provide a sensory friendly baseball experience for families with autism. And I just thought, you know, what a way to use
what a way.
I like it. It's lack of sleep too. To just leverage your influence for something that, you know, and there's no PR about this. He didn't release a statement. He's just a good guy.
I'm sticking with football. And I'm going to go with the obvious one, Tim Tebow. You know, again, as a Gator fan, but man, I mean, night to shine.
Yeah.
You know, and I know other organizations have done things like that and do things like that and probably don't get the same recognition. But I mean, he's leveraged. He's really leveraged his influence to help people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really through the foundation he started, which with his money, you know, I'm sure people give to it now.
Right.
But I mean, I think he didn't just like say this is a great idea or it wasn't an organization that he just got behind.
Yeah.
He like put skin in the game.
Yeah. And you know, you think about like he did some immature things, I think, as like a 21-year-old.
Wow. How dare he?
Platform.
How dare he?
You know, so like just handle himself a little immaturely like a baby, you know, but like, and I really criticized his second book, you know, when he talked about his failures, like in the NFL, I'm like, that's not a trial, but I just think he's really been faithful, pointed to Jesus, integrity, all that stuff. So, yeah.
All right. So this next one is just kind of came to me randomly. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to overthink it. I'm going with it. But I was thinking about celebrities' influence. We, as a family, have been a fan of the show The Middle. And it has an actress in there. It's just a funny family show. Patricia Heaton. She was the mom and Everybody Loves Raymond. Mm-hmm. And so I started following her on Twitter just because I thought this is funny. And she is incredibly outspoken about her faith, which was kind of surprising. Like she's Catholic, but she just is incredibly outspoken about, which in Hollywood, I feel like is really rare. And she wasn't like, I mean, she was like a lead actress in one of the most successful sitcoms and then, you know, went on to other shows. And
my parents loved that show.
Everyone Loves Raymond. It actually stresses me out because of the relationship between they have with in-laws. I'm like, I can't watch this. It's just, The Middle is hysterical. But I just like appreciate someone who's like sincere
is that
in their
Malcolm
faith.
In the Middle, same thing? Or
no, it's different. Oh, okay. It's a completely different show. It's just funny. It's about not. Raising teenage. I mean,
it just has the word middle. In
that's
it,
right. It is. It's about like the middle. It's like it's in the middle of this town in the middle of Indiana, which is the middle of America. And they're super middle. They're super middle class.
Okay.
It's just really funny. And it's because it's like the kids are like older elementary and middle school and high school throughout the series. So it's just like this stage of life. It's funny. Anyway, I just respect someone who's outspoken and consistent in being outspoken about their faith.
I'm going to throw two more. Oh. Is that okay?
Go.
Really quick. Mark Rick. I didn't think of him before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man, just faithfulness, integrity, humility. Bobby Bowden led him to Jesus, you know.
Yeah.
And then my last one was going to be Derek Carr, because, you know, quarterback really lives humbly for as much money as he had. I don't know if you remember this, but when he at the time got the largest NFL deal ever, and probably shouldn't have. He was like, they were like, what are you going to do with all this? It was like $250 million. What are you going to do with all of this money? And he said, first, I'm going to tithe.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to buy my wife a really nice ring. And then we're going to do a lot of good to help people with this money.
Sweet.
And I mean, I think he's lived really humbly. And, you know, you don't think about like these dudes who like him and Kirk Cousins, like they haven't they've disappointed a lot of people by not winning. Mm-hmm. Right. But like they're dudes in the NFL.
Yeah.
Under a lot of pressure and trying to lead their family. They're younger than us. Usually like, you know, they are younger than us besides Brady wasn't. But, you know, like Brady's your age, right?
I have no idea how. Anyway. Probably ish.
He is not an inspirational character.
No, he's not, man. Not at all. Sadly. Okay. Anyway. Just think about it, if he was. That'd be awesome.
I did hear. I didn't watch like all the roasts, but I heard that he came out and said he shouldn't have done that because like his kids could see it.
So absolutely.
I do appreciate that.
Well,
yeah. Okay. Last one.
All right.
I said like four.
That's right. So this is, so I'm going with someone who is like his whole like career and platform has been in Christian ministry, but I'm going to go with, Stephen Curtis Chapman. One, because he was like a pioneer of Christian music. That's right. I am.
You've always been in the rules, middle child.
That's what I do. But here's what I say about him. This dude, he was like the
Justin
pioneer. He would just saddle up your horses, guys. Like he, some of you who listen to his music when you were younger know that. that reference. He just
I don't.
He was the trailblazer of contemporary Christian music. Could have hung up his hat and just been done, but then he started, you know, show
I'm
hope.
I'm diving in.
Okay, good job. I mean, let's just be real. There's a ton of money in Christian music, and that's not talked about, but these guys in CCM, they can make a ton, and I'm sure he's made a ton of money, but he has really poured
they all do it just for Jesus.
Yeah, right, right. And a lot of them don't have character and integrity.
That's true.
That it is very sad, but it's a platform, and it's a way. I mean, a lot of people who are now famous artists, like secular artists, got their start in Christian music because they felt like it was an easier market to break into. Katy Perry, Jessica Simpson, all started as Christian artists. Faithful family man, faithful to his wife, and then started Show Hope, which has poured out millions of dollars in grants to help families with adoption and trauma-informed care. And they're doing just – and they haven't stopped. And it continues to grow and continues to grow. And I just think, like, he's still – I mean, he's got to be in his mid-60s now. He's still, like, making, like, music that's good. But I just think, like, he's just somebody who's he could have easily just been like, hey, I'm awesome. He just his model humility. Mm. And I just appreciate that. So
that
good job, Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Yeah, for real. He sang that song, I Will Be Here, right? Is that him? Someone sang that at our wedding.
Oh, there you go. And you were like, I will be here. And you were just gazing into her eyes.
That was.
And just was, like, oh, man.
I was like, I can't wait till tonight. I will be here.
That's right. I will be here. There's a bunch of I can't. I think I sang that in a wedding too. Yeah. I can't remember all the lyrics. Anyway, hey, well, there you go. It's Boggy. You're like turning red.
I know. That's really funny. That. Christy doesn't listen to this anyway, but she's like, somebody's going to bring that up.
If she were here, she would be like, gah. Like, she would like.
She's so used to it. She's so used to
she
it.
She just cracks up. She just rolls with it.
She doesn't crack up. She's like, just used to it. She's just like, okay.
Whatever. This is my life. Guys, this is my life.
Pray for her.
All right.
We're recording this on her birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. Hope that, you know, I don't know what you're doing, but I hope it's great.
Going to dinner.
She deserves
something
great.
Yeah.
Did she have to arrange the babysitter?
Yeah. I came up with the idea, and then our babysitter couldn't do it.
Okay, gotcha. Hey, listen, I say that because oftentimes that's the case. I'm like, hey, we can do this. Can you just please help and get some? Because she's, you know, better at that, and it's okay. So, all right. I digress. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.